RIP Joe Biden. You were a real one. I complained about you a lot when you were president, but having seen the alternative for a year and a quarter now, I really think you did not deserve any of the shit anyone gave you.
Hindsight is 2020, but
anyhow.
Thanks, pandemic president.
Shall we begin the show?
Yeah. Welcome to the internet, live from a beautiful location in fabulous downtown Salt Lake City. Man. Huh?
Give it some inflection, no monotoning.
Welcome to the internet, live from a beautiful location in fabulous downtown Salt Lake City, in near proximity to several Gamer Light buildings. This is the Redline Podcast.
I'm your host, Alex Fielder, and these are my co-hosts.
Hey!
Sophia I'm monogamous. Eats bread Dunstan.
Kyle, and quote, should have stuck with Spanish after high school and legitimately feels bad about it as a practical life decision, unquote. Holland.
Today on the show, we're exploring America's three cog rail. Oh my gosh. I'll never say railways correctly. All of which are tourist trains. Just why are these lines built and will we ever get any more? All this on today's show after... Oh, no news?
Nothing. I didn't want
fourth cog railway mention.
There is no fourth cog railway.
The Sadler submission for Little Cottonwood Cannon.
We're going to talk about that later. It's never going to happen.
No.
But at least the gondola really won't happen.
It should happen, though.
The gondola?
Why?
No, I mean the cog railway.
Oh.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
I don't see the environmental or cost justification for it when you could just run 10 million buses, but sure.
My name's Kyle. I'm super boring and don't like cool trains.
Oh, I have a fun news item. Let me pull it up real quick. Banter amongst
you. You just completely ignored me. He completely ignored me. He hates me.
But I'm thinking.
Thinking?
Cograil up to...
That's dangerous.
Kennecott?
Ah, okay. So, local news... Alex, make the news sound.
Do 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 do. Wait, that's not it.
That's not it.
That wasn't it even, yeah, but that works.
Look,
good enough.
That's the news sound for today. Live in the moment. Okay, so several local government organizations and alliances of government organizations have been studying the concept of running a recreation shuttle up Mill Creek Canyon, which is one of the chiller recreational canyons in Salt Lake County, for like at least a decade, probably more. Latest feasibility study came out, and the answer is, yeah, that's a good idea, which I think was obvious to everybody involved. So in light of that, and in light of some funding that seems to have appeared, the Wasatch Backcountry Alliance is running a one-month, Saturday-only Mill Creek Canyon pilot shuttle over the next month as of time of recording. So it will run for, like, the four Saturdays or whatever. By shuttle, I mean probably, like, a 15-passenger van. But we got to start somewhere. And the drama on this right now is they want to make the first shuttle stop be on, like, the side of some random, like, freeway frontage road, a full half-mile walk away from the Utah Transit Authority's Olympus Cove Park and Ride, which serves four separate bus routes, the 4, the 33, the 39, and the 45, totaling, I believe, 10 or 12 buses an hour in each direction. Which is a massive squander. And the reason they did this is because if they put it on the random freeway frontage road, then they can not have to construct a parking lot, because the study is designed under the idea that it's not practical to put enough parking in Mill Creek Canyon and still have a canyon left. So let's have people drive and park at the bottom and take the shuttle up, and they can pay their fee there instead of doing it at the toll booth. But the study designers, I don't think, have ever, like, used a bus, so they don't seem to comprehend that the people who live next to Mill Creek Canyon could take one of UTA's 15-minute buses that go down 33rd or 39th or even 45th for a half hour, take that, connect to the shuttle right up the canyon, door to trailhead. A gajillion people put in public comments about this, so the latest drama is to go ride the pilot shuttle, which apparently you're supposed to reserve because it's like a van, probably, and there will be limited capacity, and complain about it more. Anyways, local news.
Do 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 do.
Oh, other news. Like all Trevor Lee's bills failed, so that's pretty cool, I guess.
That's unfathomably sweet. Based.
Not all of them, but kind of all of them.
All the, like, terrible ones? Or?
Pretty much. And and almost all the, including the immigration one, which is crazy. And the one where undocumented immigrants wouldn't be able to get driver's licenses.
Oh, God, I forgot about that one. That one's so evil.
And do we all want the,
more unlicensed drivers, Trevor?
All the murder the transsexuals bills also failed, except one, which...
The big one?
No.
Okay.
Oh.
Which is the one that would screw over the kids. So feel bad for the kids. Hopefully it won't pass, but like...
Wow. Surprisingly tame session.
Then. We got no Harvey Milk. We got no immigrants can't drive anymore. We got no kill yourself.
Is this in fear of the midterms being a complete wipe?
Oh, the midterms are going to be a complete wipe.
I know, but more so, like, say Charlie Kirk Boulevard got put in.
I think they've just gotten sick of the culture war. I think they're... Wow. And this was something that there's this really excellent Substacker called Aaron in the Morning who covers a lot of these
mentioned
issues.
Mentioned on a previous podcast episode.
Mentioned in a previous podcast episode. Really good detailed coverage on all sorts of stuff. And she said something this year about like it feeling like the momentum on culture war nonsense is starting to shift because everyone's just like sick of it. Like, no one wants to spend all their time, like, being mad about shit that doesn't matter anymore.
And experiencing backlash and losing real, genuine political capital over things that don't matter.
Yeah, over things that don't actually matter and that they don't actually care about. So, I don't know. Could be a good sign. I'm sure there's still a lot of bad stuff that is going to pass, but a lot of the bills that I had, like, been really worried about at the start of the session just have not really gotten... anywhere.
Well,
so on a scale of 1 to 10, where do you think the evil meter is at right now?
I mean, the evil meter is probably at like, oh wait, no, that's not the, yeah, that's also failed. So both of Trevor Lee's evil immigration bills have failed. What? Or sort of, one has sort of failed, the other has probably definitely failed.
How would the you have to have a million gajillion different paperworks to vote bill go? They had a voter suppression bill in there.
I don't know. Let's see if I can find that one. Do we remember? Oh, voting amendments. That was a Malloy bill. It is on the third reading calendar, but it has been tabled.
Interesting. This late.
Which I believe means it will not go through.
Oh,
fingers crossed.
Yeah, that would be... a good win if it didn't
I didn't realize
pass.
You could table things in the Senate on that. But I thought you could only table... I guess you can table things on the actual floor of the Senate, and they tabled it, so it's not allowed to be discussed this year.
Oh, again. Wow. That's pretty cool.
So
I feel like...
I wish table it was that
a
powerful.
A lot of the like really
real
bad
job.
Stuff this year seems to have just like not gone through.
That's very encouraging.
Huh.
Well, for this year, at least.
For this year, at least. Well, and next year will be after
Donald
the midterms.
Donald Trump could steal the election, which he's trying to, by the way.
He's trying to. Yeah, didn't the SAVE Act pass one of the houses?
Yeah, but I don't think it'll pass the other.
I hope not.
Or I hope it won't pass the other.
How's the DHS funding thing going? I've heard.
I believe it's still stalemated, which I think is pretty cool.
I've heard ICE is sitting on a fat stack of cash,
they
and the
are.
TSA is fucked.
But they've also mostly pulled out of Minneapolis because, as it turns out, white moms yelling at them does work because they are little bitches.
W Minnesotans.
Yeah. So thank you to the brave people of Minneapolis. I salute your valiant efforts. Now let's continue with the show.
Real quick, any update on the transportation omnibus?
Oh yeah, what happened with that?
Oh, we got one amendment which was published in the Senate committee hearing, which was some pretty good progress. We got a tiny update on Senate floor, which was a couple of fairly technical clarifications, not really substantial progress. And Troy says that for. I don't understand all the process terminology, but we're apparently due for expecting another update on the Senate floor, and it has not even made it to the House
yet. Yeah, they're working on it on the floor. Huh. Is their favorite thing to do.
So that's that, and it hasn't even gotten to House Committee yet, let alone concurrence, so it could get fiery over in House
Committee. If it's important, it could They can still get it through. Well, there's still a couple weeks left in the
we're
session.
We're expecting them to shove it through and pass because omnibus, right?
Well, and then there's always the last 3 days when they suspend rules and you don't have to put things through committee anymore to pass them in both houses.
Okay, so that could be scary if they just skip House committee entirely, because that is the main avenue for public pressure.
It's entirely possible that they'll have to skip House committee because, as usual, they are procrastinating passing anything until the end of the session.
6 week session is
statistically
stupid.
Likely that something like, I believe last year it was 70% of the bills will be passed in the last week.
My God.
Because that's they always spend insane. A whole bunch of time litigating culture war stuff in the first
they don't have time to do real work.
4/5 of session. And they're like, oh crap, we got to pass all these bills to like fund the $50,000 to the Memorial Veterans something fund or whatever. And that has to be a whole bill because Utah does not allow like real like omnibus bills.
And yet we still do fake evil omnibus bills on occasion.
Well, we do one topic omnibus bills. You can't do that with two things.
Omnibus. That's crazy. This seems like a fairly weak rule.
It's in the Constitution.
Although I did read some interesting trip coverage on the transportation omnibus, which is that the anti-Salt Lake City street rules actually conflict with a lot of the goals of the state's own power district transportation plan, which is one of the state's like big money developments that they're focusing on now, in addition to the point. So the state's own law would hit the state's, hurt the state's own goals and money-making real estate interests.
I love the Kirby Enthusiasm music.
Well, it's like, come on, guys. They always do this to themselves.
Well, hopefully, I don't know, we'll see. Hopefully I'm not, like, I don't get that internship and then have to do after and then before drone imagery of taking out bike lanes.
Oh.
I don't like to think about that.
Yeah, I think, I really hope this goes to House committee because Harper has been, like, walking backwards up his stairs or whatever, or backwards down the stairs, I don't know, something precarious, backing off on what he says the bill means about tearing up bike infrastructure. The latest quotes that have made the round in the news are that we don't need to change anything in Salt Lake. But Harper saying this and it making it into the bill text are very different things. Yeah. So the hope is that we can just quote Harper to the state legislature and tell them to implement what he says.
Okay.
In actual text that means something.
Yeah.
I don't get why they care. I'll say that again. I was saying this the other day at coffee hour after church. It's like, why are you such a nosy Nelly? Like, I have never once in my life had like a conniption about what's going on in Bluffdale. I don't care.
The word for this one is bike lash.
I don't live in Bluffdale.
Is the culture war equivalent of hating bike lanes.
I see. And the great thing about bike lash is that it's nonpartisan. Everyone hates bike lanes.
Wow.
Okay, this has been the news.
Do 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 do.
Do.
That put some intonation into Intero it. What did he say?
That was intonation.
Do?
That was a sort of like.
I like Alex.
Yeah, that's the interrobang version.
Not today. Not today.
Thank you for not control effing interrobangs into our entire document.
Okay, Alex, you're narrator.
You mean
today.
Pasting them?
Okay.
Okay.
He's ready.
Oh, yeah. I'm very nasally.
You're like that SpongeBob sort of meme. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Oh, I
I'm
get ready. It. So I was pretending I was hosting, then Alex is taking over that he's actually hosting.
That's right. And I'm not doing that's it today because I don't want to.
Okay. Well, today's show was a story of two plus one tourist cog railways in the United States. Two, the Pikes Peak Railway and the Mount Washington Railway, notable nationwide tourist attractions that scale some of the most formidable peaks in the halves of the country.
Ooh.
Love it. Formidable.
I don't know if I'd call Pikes Peak formidable. That's one of the easiest 14ers, but it's still a 14er. Mount Washington, on the other hand, very formidable.
Listeners, what proportion of you climb mountains?
Well, Mount Washington is the place on Earth where the coldest temperature on Earth has been recorded, where the highest wind speed on Earth has been recorded.
Oh.
Really?
Hot damn.
It's not like Denali?
That's kind of crazy.
No, it's Mount Washington just gets crazy, not so like microclimate weather, and so it's always super weird up there. It's on the east coast. It's only like 6,000 feet tall, so it's but it's the tallest mountain in east of the Mississippi. So
6,000 feet. No wonder the skiing sucks. I mean, it probably would be good this week, but it's probably good that this winter, since New York got like a foot of snow, apparently.
Everywhere but us. I think people hate on East Coast skiing too much. I'm sure that it's mostly fine and exactly the same as where I grew up skiing.
It's probably quieter and they're probably more locally owned.
And cheaper.
Okay, if it's so cheaper, it's probably... count me in.
Like, I don't care if it's ice. I grew up skiing on ice. Like,
I was watching the Olympics, and apparently for some of the downhill sports, they put water on the snow to make sheet ice for the skiers to ski on.
Based.
So they can go faster.
Anyway, the other is the Quincy and Torch Lake Cog Railway, which is about half a mile in length and
stupid.
They call it an Obama-era streetcar cog railway.
Funny thing is, it was built in 1997, so that's closer to the truth than I'm comfortable with. It's a Bill Clinton-era cog railway.
Ew. Bill, quote, tricky dick, unquote, Clinton.
That really grinds my cogs.
Like that. Intern.
Staffer, right? No.
Who was the president with the blowjob scandal?
Oh, that was Bill Clinton.
That was Clinton, yeah. Saxophone Bill.
Yeah, well, you know he likes to blow it.
Look, I'm coping with the current state.
Wait, so
of
was
nation.
It him that sucked Donald Trump's dick or the other way around?
Wait.
I think it was Donnie who...
He blew Bubba.
Yeah, he blew.
So I'm trying to cope with the current state of the country with really tired, low-ball Bill Clinton jokes. Thanks. If that's like the worst thing Clinton can do, other than like, you know, major proxy wars.
He was on
proxy wars.
Island.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Canceled.
That's where cool he no got more. The Bubba job.
From Donald Trump. I cannot emphasize enough that two presidents of the United States have done fellatio.
Look, at least they're consenting adults.
Is Donald Trump mentally capable of... Continue.
So, let's just start with the eternal question. What is a cog railway?
I don't fucking know. Tell us.
As we all know...
What?
As we all know, trains have difficulty traversing steep grades. Most heavy railway lines are limited to about 4% grade, and that's pushing it.
What's the highest?
Do you like my intonation?
You're doing great.
What's the highest like spot grade on all of Front Runner?
Maybe 3.
This is for the flyovers where they have to get a running start; otherwise, it doesn't go very good.
Love it.
Yeah, some light rail lines can manage a little, well, quite a bit more. Pittsburgh, for example, I believe they have an 11.5% grade.
Oh my god.
In Portland, I know there's a 9% grade coming off the Steel Bridge. In Salt Lake, there's an 8.5% grade on the S curve up to the university.
Based.
Does electrification give you?
It's electrification and like traction, because light rail vehicles are just super freaking heavy, which is quite ironic when you think about it. But for their like length and size, they're super heavy and they have a ton of bogies, so they just get more traction than...
Because like a BART train has, what, the wheels on the front and the wheels on the back. And one of the original design issues with BART is they were experimenting with early aluminum car bodies, and they were worried the BART trains would be so light that they would blow off the viaducts in high wind.
Yeah, and importantly, light rail vehicles have a really low center of gravity. So true. They just have all these things that make them able to potentially do an 11.5% grade, which is pretty steep in a car, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And very steep on a bicycle.
Can confirm Butterfield Canyon moment.
Ooh, yeah, Butterfield's scary.
I was reading the design proposal / impact study for the Harriman Tooele commuter highway via Butterfield Canyon from like a decade ago. The proposal would be to spend like $350 million in like 2017 dollars to blast and do a 0.9 mile tunnel on a 55 mile an hour full shoulder commuter road between Tooele and Harriman.
Ooh, my two favorite destinations.
Yet 95% of people in Harriman work in Salt Lake County.
Damn.
And I don't know if leaving Twella, starting in Harriman, is like the closest way to get to employment.
Yeah, I think, they should not do that.
And also, like, the environment or whatever, and $2017 dollars aren't a thing that you can spend anymore because it's not 2017.
I have to say, though, the environmental angle right next to the largest open pit mine in the world.
Oh, terrible. Well, especially because Salt Lake County and also, I think, Harriman have been investing a lot, several million dollars, in buying out Kennecott and other private property south of Butterfield Canyon to make the Rose Canyon or whatever open space area.
Yeah.
With a lot of like manicured trails and stuff, because that side of the valley has traditionally been very recreation poor, which is why housing is cheap over there. So I don't think that's like going to play nice.
Greater supply. The east side of the valley has been pretty built out for a while now, where they're still building new stuff out on the west side.
True. They haven't run out of land yet. Mm-hmm. Then they will, and they'll start building in Twella. And then maybe they'll blast the commuter road through.
And then we'll blow up the West Desert to build suburbs. Because why not?
It's sooner than you think.
Because we couldn't possibly build a couple skyscrapers in downtown Salt Lake City to fulfill literally the same purpose.
I think we should go straight for Little Sahara and make it into like a luxury, I built my house on the sand development.
Oh, you know what we should do? Instead of trying to raise the level of Great Salt Lake by like adding water to it, is we should like build a bunch of sort of palm islands that will just push the existing water up.
Do we just need to bring the Saudis over?
I think we do. I like, and they can build some sort of like palm Jemaira antelope island.
Question, Sophia.
Uh-huh.
Since we have the Union Pacific Causeway across the lake, could we build the Great Salt Lake Line?
Yeah, you can build a whole bunch of commuter development sort of branching off the off the causeway, and then you just take the train into the mainland.
We'd have to reconnect the causeway.
Well, it's still an operational railway with bridges.
It's still operational?
Yes, they put like...
It just has a bridge in the middle now.
Oh.
Yeah, they put like the trains go in one direction on that, and the trains go in the other direction somewhere else.
I really wish
I
could go to the place where it changes, but you can't because it's illegal to walk on the train tracks.
Somebody did an ATV street view of it that's published on Google Street View, which is the peakest shit ever.
Maybe I'll take my kayak out there.
We can canoe out there and get the drone.
That would be a long...
And apparently the high winds are fairly dangerous out there, I've been told.
High wind, schmy wind.
Only if you're a bitch.
Well, okay.
It's no Mount Washington.
Yeah, it's no Mount Washington. There's no 190 mile an hour winds or whatever.
So
what you're saying, Kyle, is we should have bought the freaking sailboat.
Sure. Return to sailboat. What scares me is the price of sailboat parking at the marina.
Well, we'll put it...
Hopefully one day...
One
soon,
of us will own a house.
I'll rent a house.
Just
hopefully
for the sailboat.
Hopefully sooner than, I don't know, later.
Rent a house just for the sailboat and live separately in an apartment.
Better yet, buy a narrowboat, move to England. End of story.
Buy a narrowboat, move to the Great Salt Lake.
Which,
be the real
pirate.
It'd
probably do pretty well because narrowboats have a very shallow keel and the Great Salt Lake is pretty shallow.
Yeah.
So
they might fall.
And there's
over.
Not big waves. No, I don't think so. Somebody took a narrowboat across the Atlantic one time back in the 80s.
Okay, so maybe we'd be fine, yeah.
Huh.
And sailed from Britain to Russia in, like, because there's a bunch of canals in France as well. So they went, like, across the channel and then through the French canals and then, like, through the Mediterranean and the Black Sea and all this to get to... Anyway, cool. It was a whole thing.
And there's, once they're done with construction, they'll have water, electric, and RV dump on Antelope Island. At least they think of it. I think they have RV dump. I'm not sure.
Totally. Anyway, continue.
Totally bogly.
So, how did we get this grade... Well... No, we know how we got this grade problem. How do we solve the problem?
How, Alex? How?
So you're
doing great, Kyle.
We can either go under the thing, which base tunnel to Logan, blast a giant hole in the mountain or hill and run the train through it, We can make really long tunnels these days.
The Gotthard base tunnel is like, what, 20 miles long or something? Is that in
Switzerland?
Yes, it is.
That tracks. This is making me think of the ski railway in Australia. What's it called?
The ski tube?
Yeah.
We covered that once.
We did.
Yeah.
I forgot what it was called, though.
Oh, excuse me. It's 35 miles in length. Holy cow.
That's Swiss crack. Don't mess around.
Aren't these ones with, like, dedicated fire?
And it costs them, like, $2 billion.
Of course. They're good at it. And aren't those the ones that have, like, dedicated firefighting stations and firefighting train equipment on each side just for that tunnel?
Well, because it's 35 miles long.
Plus, like, the whole crazy dedicated evacuation procedure and ventilation. So this is cool infrastructure.
And I thought Eisenhower and Johnson were cool.
Well, they used to be. Tech has advanced a little bit.
Oh, excuse me. It was $12 billion. That was fake news. Which is still ridiculous.
$300 million. We can barely build, like, a light rail for that price.
Yeah, that's the cost of the Point of the Mountain extension, probably.
Oh, God. And we already own the land.
L.A. single subway station cost $12 billion. No, this is not funny, but the like, four-station BART extension into San Jose is going to cost $12 billion.
Luckily, they're the richest state.
Well, we're not going to be if we keep spending $12 billion on a four-station BART extension.
Well, we're not going to be because we're Utahns.
Oh. Are we the richest state?
California is the richest state.
Oh.
Yeah. No, we're not.
I consider myself spiritually California.
I think we have, like, the highest, income per capita for the cost of living.
Which well, is I consider crazy. Myself sort of spiritually Californian, so.
Oh, and Point of the Mountain, actually, we're looking great on cost per mile. Our patron, Jesse Mayo, did, and is it Mayo or Maya?
Mayo.
Mayo. Well, I'll go with Mayo. Our patron, Jesse Mayo, did an op-ed in Building Salt Lake comparing that with the state's crack plan, and the Blue Line extension is quite a bit cheaper at $593 million 2022 dollars.
Because of course it is. Because it makes sense, unlike the other one.
The crack the state wants to do is $944 million.
Because they have to build a giant freaking bridge over the I-15.
And the state's latest claim, and the whole reason Jesse wrote this op-ed, is that the Blue Line extension would not get enough of ridership projection to qualify for FTA grants. However, it has a lower cost per rider than the crack the state wants to do.
For the physically conservative state, that should be a no-brainer.
You would think, but this study has had a long history of twisting facts, realities, and long-term transit objectives. For example, considering a single non-revenue track connection to the rest of the system, a liability to the project worthwhile if building an entire
Because then you might build the entire... The correct line that should exist.
It's considered so bad that it's worth apparently building an Icelanded operation and maintenance facility just for the point crack.
Then no one's going to ride.
Well, apparently by 2050 they can get 4,370 daily riders.
Oh, great. So it's the S-Line 2, except worse somehow.
Look, you've seen...
Because the S-Line was at least cheap to build.
You've seen you saw the renders when we did our Point of the Mountain coverage, which is that they want to have a bunch of parking garages that are like the same size as the buildings.
Which, I flew over the point on the...
On your airplane?
Yep.
What?
You went on an airplane?
Yeah, I went to Mexico.
Oh, yeah, you would have to, wouldn't you? Well, you wouldn't have to, but... So that's I drove by it on the way to Provo today. It was very
Oh, that's a really good picture for an airplane. Yeah, are they actually building it now?
No, I got some
really
good...
No, but they seem to be digging.
Well, that's
got
something.
Got the Grand Canyon.
These are really good airplane pictures.
I did go by Downtown Vineyard, or as it is on every other billboard all the way to freaking Provo, said Utah City. There are now buildings being constructed in Vineyard.
Oh, which I lost my mind when I found out there's a Mormon church in the most remote village in America.
Yeah, that tracks.
Yeah. In the Grand Canyon.
In the Grand Canyon, down.
Okay, well...
What paragraph are we on at this point?
Two, three?
Okay, cool.
So, as we said, we can go under the thing or through the thing. Might be a better way to say
Swiss
it.
Swiss style.
We can go around the thing. So follow rivers or passages to avoid the highest points.
Amtrak style.
But what if we wanted to get to the top? Because there's stuff up there like minerals or recreation.
Butterfield Canyon Commuter Cog Railway. Fuck the environment.
We'd need a railway that could get to the top, but it would need more grip. How are we going to do that?
I have no idea. Rail technology is extremely limited and obsolete. The automobile is the future.
Okay, Kyle.
Behold, the rack and pinion railway. Normally just called a cog railway.
The piss car is coping and seething right now.
In addition to the...
I have depicted myself as the sleek FDR cog railway and you as the seething automobile.
Rolling coal just trying to make it up the hill.
In addition to the regular running wheels, cog railways have a gear in the middle, a pinion, that interlaces with the track below to create solid traction. And the first truly practical example was invented right here in the United States. They're now used all around the world in places different as Australia and Austria.
Oh, I like that's a pretty good one.
That's good. That's some good writing.
Where, dear Alex, where might this first cog railway have been?
I think we should prohibit you from reading the script ahead so you don't do this.
No,
you unleashed us.
This was a big mistake. And so, this is why I can never leave the podcast chat, is because if I do, it will just be like, how can we take, instead of the usual, you know, hour and a half to 2 hours to record the podcast, can we take 5 to 6 hours?
The worst part is I edit these. So I'm signing myself up for more work, but doing it anyways because it's funny.
Well, thanks for asking, Kyle. It was the Mount Washington
I'm
Railway.
Piss myself.
Yeah. So remember how we first mentioned that the first practical rack and pinion railway was invented right here in the United States?
Wow, yes, we did mention that on our podcast episode that we're recording.
In 1952, a New Hampshirean gentleman.
That's got to be the denim,
named
right?
Sylvester Marsh.
Sylvester McMonkey
McKean.
Now
that is an 1800s name right there.
Beautiful. Came up with the idea to build a railway up Mount Washington while climbing the East's tallest peak.
This is much cooler than like the Florida Swamp Railway guy I was learning about on Where There's... Well, There's Your Problem.
And probably less colonialist.
Oh, definitely.
He spent some time developing the idea for the railway and eventually applied for a charter from the New Hampshire legislature.
Ooh. Where he was decried as insane.
Okay, so is the charter just, like, the right to build the thing?
Yeah, because the state owns the land, yeah. Unless a private individual.
But does it also come with money from the state, or is it just you can do it?
You can do it.
So why do they get to say it's insane?
Because
it is.
Okay, and they granted it anyways?
Well, you'll
it's fortunate he didn't end up in an asylum.
Oh, true.
At this time in 1852. Not only by members of the legislature was he declared insane, one of them who called it a railway to the moon. I like that.
Steep mountain, I guess.
But also the press and general public kind of raked him over the coals. He was the laughingstock of New England for quite a while.
You did not successfully get Alex to say bro. So if he sneezes.
You're seething right now.
You have depicted yourself as a sleek FDR train and me as a seething coal.
But, yeah, nice argument.
But bro persisted. And the legislature eventually assented on the grounds that it would be stimulating to the economy and could do very little harm.
That's like the vaguest possible justification, and so often
we can employ our population of vagrant Italians.
I kind of like the fuck it mentality. I know, just right? Like, well, whatever.
How bad can it be, right?
Two comparisons. One, I was reading about the history of Columbus in the Map Bend book. and him and his brother going around and petitioning the various monarchs for money and boats and stuff. This feels like a scaled down version of this in the 1850s, which is a little bit cool. I guess we don't really have that so much now. You don't go around petitioning governments with your projects. There's a whole quote planning process unquote. I forgot what the second thing was.
Well, that's okay. We all make mistakes here at the Redline Podcast.
Yeah, the Real Mistakes Podcast.
And lies, too. Construction didn't begin until the Civil War was over, and ground was finally broken in 1866.
That was really like the 1860s version of COVID, wasn't it?
Or the financial crisis.
Or World War One, II.
Korea.
You're supposed to like lose your shit and scoff at me for even suggesting this comparison.
No, it was a correct comparison.
I'm not sure COVID is comparable to the Civil War.
It killed a similar number of Americans, sort of.
Fuck, like, really?
Like,
percentage-wise,
I think.
I need to check this.
The Civil War killed more Americans than any other war in history.
It's because COVID Americans don't normally die in wars because we don't fight them on our own soil.
True.
And Americans were fighting Americans. Mm-hmm. Which I'm just going to interject right now. In Tooele, they have like a war plaza, as many like small towns do. And they had like a headstone for each war. So they had like the Civil War. They had, I don't know if they had any war between the Civil War and the First World War. But then they, at the very end, in this symmetrical lineup, they had Middle East and then the start date, and it hasn't ended yet. But they just lumped every single war since Korea into Middle East.
So roughly 2% of the population died from...
Yeah, I've got one.
Civil War.
Oh, okay. Civil War, yeah. 620,000 out of about 31 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, so about 2% of the population for the Civil War. And then COVID, I have a source, I read it on Wikipedia, about 1.2 million people.
Okay, so not so many. But still, COVID killed a lot of people.
Yes.
And we've all memory hold the fact that COVID has killed a lot of people. And probably killed more than we think.
Okay, so the according to available data, the Civil War killed 6 times the proportion of Americans that the COVID did. So the Civil War is, in fact, worse than COVID. COVID is canceled. This is an official Redline Podcast opinion that all hosts in this room fully agree with.
I think that from my perspective as an individual living in the year of our Lord 2026, that in terms of like continuing to have a functioning society afterwards, that COVID might be worse. Well, no, that's not true, because they did like reconstruction and then did not do that.
The knock-on effects of the Civil War were like a century.
And it's still ongoing.
Yeah.
So really, we got to wait a century and see how many more COVIDs happen before we can make a fair comparison.
Or civil wars.
Or both.
I'm looking forward to fighting over Reno and as part of the Gavin Newsom liberation. I had a dream about this. You've all heard this dream.
I didn't remember it was a dream, but cool.
So anyway, yeah. Tell the guy. Ground was broken in 1866, and it actually worked, which shocked everyone, and has been operating ever since. It's the world's first rack and pinion railway, which genius man, Mr. Sylvester Marsh, for coming up with this.
Dr. Seuss ass name.
It follows, the line follows the route of one of the earliest trails to the top of Mount Washington. More than 5 million people have been carried to the top of the peak by this trundling beast of a line since.
Wow.
And it makes just under 3 miles per hour on the top route, since the track is about 3 miles in length. So the ride is about an hour long.
Look, for the first rack and pinion railway ever, that's kind of fair.
And it still runs on steam.
Oh, okay, that's extra fair. None of that diesel or overhead electric cog railway or anything. God, can you imagine using like 1860s technology to produce that much rack gear? Like, I don't even know how.
God, and don't even mention opinions.
Yeah, well, you don't need quite so many of them. Because, like, rails are hot rolled. That's, like, a very established metalworking process. How do you, like, cut a rack gear? I don't know. Listeners, help.
You cast it.
I could see that. That's a lot of sand casting. Also,
I think they had clay molds by this point.
Okay. Well, also, cast stuff comes out pretty brittle. So, like, does it work? Hopefully.
I don't know, man. I don't make rack and pinion gears.
Okay, well, we've got no fucking clue. I'm going to stop speculating.
Now ask Mr. Sylvester.
Okay, break out the Ouija board, kids.
Dream blunt rotation. Sylvester Marsh. Honestly, if it's just him, that's fine.
Yeah, no, that's good.
So the second one is the Pikes Peak Railway, which is not...
I've heard of Pikes Peak.
Yeah. Yeah, very famous name for coffee.
Oh.
Pike's Peak Roast, if you will.
Cool.
But it's not a super tall mountain. It is, but it also isn't.
Yeah, so it is. So in the United States, in the lower 48, the real sort of pinnacle of mountaineering achievement is what are called the 14ers, which are the peaks above 14,000 feet, of which there are something like 56 or something.
How many do you have under your belt?
Zero.
Oh.
Because I have climbed mostly in Idaho, where the tallest mountain is 12,634 feet.
Oh, so you're doing the 12ers?
Yeah, right. The Idaho 12ers.
Isn't the King's Peak 14?
It's a 13er.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. I've done King's Peak.
It
sucks. Would not recommend.
So, Pike's Peak is the 39th tallest mountain in the United States. Keeping in mind that the first 15 are in Alaska, where mountains are much taller than they are in the lower 48.
Woke? Did a polar bear make it?
No, I believe that was a tectonic fault. But given that, so it's like the 25th tallest or something in the lower 48, and given that it's only about 400 feet short of the Mount Whitney, which is the tallest peak in the lower 48, I think it's still pretty freaking tall, but it's not like that tall.
I kind of want to see like the histogram of heights of mountains in the lower 48.
You're gonna get like a really big distribution around 10, 11, 12. There's gonna be like 4,000 of each.
Well, I'm gonna say calling it at a not super notably tall mountain, I'm gonna say I disagree with that.
I also disagree with
that's very tall. Anyway, what else is notable about it is the visibility and how many people have been up to it. I wonder if this...
Yeah, it might be like the most climbed mountain in North America, maybe.
Like on foot or...
In general, okay. The most people have been to the top of this specific mountain.
I have a feeling a part of that might be attributed to the railway.
Do you think?
Maybe.
Hashtag not cheating.
It was a big symbol of the Colorado Gold Rush and told people coming from back east when they had made it west.
If you were a 59er, which was when the Colorado Gold Rush was, right? Because there's the 49ers, that's the California Gold Rush.
Yeah, the 59ers, that's the sports team, right?
But mine is 59er.
The San Francisco 49ers, which are in San Jose.
Yeah.
The 59er is a Scooby-Doo villain.
Cool, because I have not heard of a 59ers sports team.
There isn't.
It's because they're the Nuggets.
That would be the Broncos. Nuggets? The Denver Broncos is the football team in Denver.
Oh.
Isn't Nuggets basketball? But I guess it's not.
It might be. I don't know.
I think it's the Denver
anyway, the
Nuggets.
Point, the no, point, Denver Nuggets the point is, a real is team. If you're a 59er and you're coming from like
basketball,
you know, shithole New York or whatever, and you're coming east to seek your fortune mining or west to seek your fortune mining gold, you see Pike's Peak and you're like, I'm basically there, which is true because it's, you know, horizon.
And then you go to the top of Pike's Peak to show off your gold
you
mining prowess.
No, because you actually didn't make any gold.
And the gold mining is not actually that close to Pike's Peak. It's just the first mountain you saw.
Okay.
The first European ascent of this mountain was in 1820, and another ascent in 1893 inspired the song America the Beautiful.
Oh, beautiful for spacious
skies. Woo! Go white people!
Waves of grain.
Huh. That was a mocking tone. Good rendition of the song, though.
Not really, but thank you.
So this raises the question.
What's the question? What's the question, Alex? I love questions on the Red Vine podcast.
I know you do, Kyle. So this is just for you. Why does it have a train going up it?
Why, Alex? I have no idea why a train would go up something.
I have to say, 14,000 feet is awfully high for railway equipment and tourists.
I know, that's pretty crazy. You might have some adhesion problems with your railway.
Well, now this sounds made up. It all started with a mattress company owner from the Simmons Beauty Rest Mattress Company.
Look, it's not as weird as like the sheep one.
Yeah, maybe. He spent 2 days on a mule to get up to Pikes Peak in 1880 in order to check out one of his non-mattress related inventions, new insulator for telegraph wires. This guy sounds awesome.
Seriously.
And we need to be at the top of Pikes Peak on a mule to do this. Why?
Because he wanted to check, because there was a big signaling station up there.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
I was assuming it was, I don't know, lightning. But no, that does make more sense.
Yeah, take that, Ben.
So, Zalman Simmons, spelt with a Z, was so fed up with his mule, he demanded that there be a more civilized way to reach the mountain's summit. It took him 9 years to gather funding.
That's fucking commitment.
Which, I wonder how much of this is mattress money.
Evil mattress money. Ooh.
This is back when they weren't money laundering schemes and they were actually money. Into restfulness and also cogwheels.
Beauty rest.
Well, also mattresses are like a, as we know them today, are not that old of an invention. So this was probably still in the like their inexpensive luxury era and not the why the fuck did you buy that from a mattress store, you're stupid era.
Well, anyway, he gathered his funding. He made a plan. But in 1889, he found the Manitou and Pikes Peak Railway. Oh, he founded it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you said he found it, and I was like, 9 years of work went to waste.
That's why I was,
White man discovers railway.
I was like, no, yeah, did he find
Americans
that they already made it?
Yeah, actually built the railway several hundred years earlier.
Well, he founded the railway, and they got to work. As was typical of 1800s construction, it opened up to the Halfway House Hotel in 1890 and to the top in 1891. That's fast construction.
I love that name.
They must have
done.
I bet his beds
was built by
were
Italians.
In the hotel.
It was built by Italians. And they were.
And they were
ruthlessly exploited, naturally.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that they were really happy to be up there.
They might have been. I don't know.
Maybe just as like a cope for.
I imagine exploited. That they weren't in the winter.
The Germans probably would love it.
The Swiss are like, oh yeah, this is like just right at home.
So a church choir were there to make the first trip, as an earlier attempt for the first trip with politicians and dignitaries was turned back by a rock slide at 12,000 feet.
Awkward also, unless you're the Swiss and you're digging base tunnels, thou shalt never tame Mother Nature.
I think that's a sign from God to smite politicians and dignitaries. But the choir reined it in.
God said so.
I also heard
church
that they
first.
That they gave a concert on top of the mountain.
That's so. Unfathomably base.
I like it. And the Cog Railway has been a huge hit and has continued to operate ever since.
With one notable exception.
What's the exception?
We'll find out. Don't be a spoiler.
Electric and diesel trains were introduced in the 1940s and 60s respectively, and the line received a complete rebuild.
Oh, not electric. Gas. There is no electric.
Okay.
Gas. And diesel.
Okay.
Gas
as in like coal gas?
No, gas as in gasoline.
Oh,
gasoline
okay.
And diesel. So yeah, 1940 and 1960s. The line received a complete rebuild from 2018 to 2021. awful time to be building. Yeah. Actually, good time.
Yeah, because no one's going to go up it because it's Rona.
And terrible cost overruns. The track was 126 years old by that point.
126-year-old track. I thought the Muni streetcar system was fucked by the time they had to rebuild it.
So yeah, new track, new Stadler trains.
You just wait works. Till the tracks, the slab track on 200 West is 126 years old. But $100 million, that's cheap.
Yeah, no, that's pretty good. And that's for the rebuild, the right?
To it. Oh yeah, fair.
See, you got to bring in the right people sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 9 miles in total and climbs almost 8,000 feet.
Bro, that's like free.
Giving it an average grade of somewhere around 20%.
That's insane.
It carries as many as...
I believe the actual number is 80%, or is 17 degrees.
17?
Degrees or percent?
Okay, well that's...
Is the average
degrees incline. Or percent?
Degrees.
Oh, okay.
Well...
There is a difference.
There's a huge difference.
I think it's percent.
Okay.
I think...
Do you want to check real quick?
No.
Source?
I made it the fuck up.
On the Real Lies podcast.
It carries as many as 600,000 people a year.
Yeah, that's
and
nuts.
Tickets are $60.
That tracks.
It's a round trip ticket, though.
Maybe I'll try and ride this summer.
I would like to ride this.
Seems fun.
Seems like a more enjoyable way than my usual way of getting up mountains.
With your feet...
Sorry. And nice axe occasionally.
Oh, yeah.
I wonder if people ever get really bad like altitude sickness from taking
while sitting on the train. Maybe. It's surely not as much as hiking because they're not doing work. But I would.
Yeah, I don't know. But it kind of just shoots you up. I don't get how it works. I've never had it.
Yeah, how fast is this one or how slow? Because the other one went 3 miles an hour going up.
Yeah.
You want to figure out how fast this one is?
I think that this one is a bit faster than that.
If this is 9 miles, yeah, I can't imagine it takes more than an hour to get up.
I think it's a 3-hour trip, but you also stop in the middle for like lunch at the hotel or something because it's an experience.
Wait, so and the ticket probably... includes lunch?
I think so.
Well, now we're talking.
Well, I'm definitely going.
The average grade of the line would be 12% and top out at 25%.
Gotcha.
And I don't see speed. Speed is not listed here.
Well, if I ride it this summer, I'll take a measurement.
Thanks.
Is this... Let me see where this is.
3 to 4 hours in total. 1 hour for the ride up, 1 hour down, and 40 to 60 minutes at the summit.
So in short, approximately 9 miles per hour.
9 miles an hour. Okay. There you go, team.
Can you paste the link for that?
Ooh.
Sure.
I actually don't know if I will go here.
Oh, why is that?
It's on the front range.
You'll survive.
I somehow knew already. Yeah. If it's the first big mountain Gold Rushers see.
Yeah.
But it's outside of Colorado Springs. Well, maybe I'd go to it if I just didn't go into...
What are you talking about? Oh, it's only next to Denver, or it's only next to Colorado Springs.
Yeah, but in the same way that, like, Alta is next to Salt Lake.
Yeah.
Like,
I thought you were going to say next to Alta, parentheses town, close parentheses.
Oh, clever. Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably try and go on the Durango-Silverton train first. Which is cooler.
I would rather. No, it's not.
I know, it's kind of cooler in like the West Slope way. Okay, well, anyway, moving on to the last one. The Quincy and Torch Lake Cog Railway, which operates a half-mile line in Hancock?
Without the D.
Hancock.
Oh,
Michigan.
Boy.
It transports people from a lakeside town up a hill to a museum, which is odd. It began its life as a funicular and now operates as a single tram car.
Your section on this is really short. That's... Are you implying that it sucks?
Yes.
Cool.
I don't think it operates. It's not that good. That's all I have to say about it. It was a mining railway, and there's now a museum at the top of the hill where the mine is, and so it exists to shuttle tourists to the mining museum.
Okay, that sounds like something up my alley.
Or up your railway.
We didn't even get a picture of
it. Did we learn anything? And the answer is yes, we did learn something, and that tourist transit is good.
I'm glad you're embracing like the PBS Kids format.
For example, Disney World, the OHSU aerial tram, or perhaps a cog train up either and or both Cottonwood Canyons, preferably ending in Park City.
I learned that if you want something done right, you get the Swiss to do it.
This is
if
very true.
The Swiss specialty.
It'll run like a Swiss watch.
Yeah, which is notoriously good.
Kind of woke, but okay. That is a reference to the...
Statistically, your extra medicine does come out in your pee, so it's kind of woke piss in that way.
Cool. Oh my god, don't remind me about the Minecraft estrogen mod. It's a mod in which you do Minecraft chemistry to distill estrogen from horse urine. I don't even know if that's actually possible.
Wait, say what you just said again.
I said don't remind me about the Minecraft estrogen mod. Which is a mod in which you do Minecraft chemistry to distill estrogen out of horse urine. I don't even know if that's possible.
But that is absolutely possible.
Cool.
That's how they made
I love teaching kids science through Minecraft.
Yeah. How did you rack on my pinion to like hog?
Oh.
Yeah, there's a really long history of trans women using horse piss. Because back in like ancient Sumeria in like 2300 BC, like there was this whole like temple which was made up exclusively of trans women priests.
Is it like that easy to get estrogen on a horse piss?
They are recorded to have dried horse pee and used it as HRT.
Is it that easy?
It's quite easy. This is why they used to make birth control out of horse piss. Because we didn't know how to synthesize the chemicals, but we knew that the chemicals were extremely present in female horse piss for some reason. I guess women, like female horses, are just really like cranking it out. So that's how we made birth control.
I vote if the apocalypse happens, the Redline podcast should incorporate and pivot to extracting estrogen from horse piss.
Well, we don't need to because we now know the precursor chemicals and we could make the precursor chemicals.
But like in the apocalypse, hypothetically.
In the apocalypse.
We steal the precursor chemicals.
We steal or loot the precursor chemicals.
Oh, okay.
Or we make the precursor chemicals ourselves because we know how to do that now.
It can't be that hard.
We live in an age of very advanced material science.
And places where you can pirate scientific
papers.
That
once a society has a high enough percentage of engineers, it can never become uncivilized again because everyone
knows. There's too much knowledge.
Yeah, there's too much knowledge. You know how to rebuild shit, even from the ground up.
True. Meanwhile, science publishers.
And also libraries, which contain literally all of the necessary knowledge to rebuild society.
You can't spell library without lib.
Damn, libs want to save the world.
That might be a little that might be a little bit too close to home for 2026. In terms of
36 books are now banned in Utah high school libraries.
Oh yeah, how's the book ban bill going?
Is there one this year? I didn't think.
There's a book ban bill enhancement that would have the state contract with a single contractor to provide a software system.
Oh, there's no corruption involved in that.
To provide a software system that is mandated to include AI that will automatically attempt to pre-screen reading materials for school libraries. It would also.
So if it says the word sex in it.
It would also trigger an automatic pull of materials after a certain number of like 3 or whatever school districts banned them. Or
oh,
sorry,
we
trigger
a
statewide
That's
ban.
That's a terribly low bar.
They have an enhancement for that. Mm. Yeah. And AI screening of AI book censorship.
It's just control F.
It basically is.
We're just gonna get back to like Roblox chat. Censorship dodging. We'll manage.
That's yeah, terrible. You can just say segs like they do on TikTok instead.
It works.
Unalive.
And they've got the latest and greatest.
And, you know, to keep 13 Reasons Why on the bookshelf, you just have to replace every mention of suicide with unalive.
The Zoomer 13 Reasons Why.
Here are the 13 reasons I unalive myself. Number one, my gat was not popping.
This book is going to be the 14th reason.
It's like the Gen Z
Kyle,
Bible.
Kyle, you're my 13th reason.
Aww, thanks. This is podcasting, Fran.
I'm 12. Makes sense. Where's Giles?
Giles is not on the list. Damn. Giles doesn't aggravate me.
Wow. Odd.
Please remember to like, comment, and subscribe. And if you're listening on YouTube, and to follow and leave us a rating on iTunes and/or Spotify. If you like what we do here, consider becoming a member on Patreon. Patrons receive early access to all of our regular content, as well as exclusive content and occasional merch drops. Speaking of patrons...
I did send them. You're welcome.
Oh.
And if you don't like what we do here...
I was going to say just leave an angry comment. It boosts engagement. That's what everybody else says.
Front runner tier, $10 or more per month. We have Curtis Herring, Zach Adams, Tony Stunt, Aaron, and Austin Speaker.
At $5 a month, our deadline tier, we have DJ...
Hi, Will.
Watkins, Nebula, Robert P. Walsh, Christopher Whaley, Reluctant LA Resident, Sky Lakowski, Isaac Madsen, and Kyle Irving.
At our blue line, if it had cogs for some reason, I don't really know where it would be going. Tier $3 a month, we have Ethan McDonald, Zach Verstott, Alex, Elijah hey. Kensler. I love that. G4, Evelyn, Matt Gray, Jesse Mayo, Oliver, Sam Myers, Litmus Zest, Toronto Transit Channel, Flight Attendant, Night Jet, Tauncey, and Caleb Denio.
And at $1 a month, our green line tier, we have Kapil, Benjamin Wood, Joshua S. Horvath, and Ryan Bailey. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Go get cogged.